here is Yorma, ready to join us. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. Where do we find you this morning?
Well, this morning you find me at this little farm that we've been living in for the last 25 years, Hillside Farm, that that I've just sold. And I'm teaching later today, and we're getting ready to move to a new house, and I'm taking a break from dragging stuff from my garage into my truck to talk to you.
I appreciate you taking time out, and perhaps you appreciate a good excuse for a break.
Absolutely.
Because after that many years, moving is not an easy thing.
I look at it this way. We'll get through it, and it'll be fine.
And geographically, I know about Fir Peace in Ohio, but geographically, where are you living?
I live about 8 miles from the Fir Peace Ranch.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I've been moving a little closer to it. You know, land down in this county where we live, it's not as cheap as it was when we bought in the late 80s, but it's a lot cheaper than any place else I've ever lived, so it's a good thing.
You know, as many people as I know, you have really just had music woven throughout your life and your heart and your soul. I love to listen to the most recent works you've done. They all just have captivated me. How did it all start? I mean, as a little boy, maybe did music really move you going back early in life?
Yeah, interestingly enough, the answer is I don't think I thought about it when I was a young kid, you know, but yeah, it did, and for whatever reason. We didn't have a lot of the, you know, I was born in 1940, so we didn't have a lot of the distractions that that my kids and everybody else's kids have today. And I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. It's just different. But the sounds coming out of the radio, the music coming out of the radio, whether it was quote-unquote my music or not, there's something about music that certainly was, you know, captivated me. And both my mom and my dad, they weren't professional musicians, but they both played. You know, they came out of the generation where you learned to play something, you know. They both played piano. My dad played violin, a little mandolin and stuff. And so there was always music in the house, and I think I just kind of took it for granted. It took me a while to discover the music that specifically set me on fire. You know, I took piano lessons when I was a kid, and you know, I'm sure... You know, I have a 9-year-old daughter. She's taking piano lessons today, and her early lessons were the same as mine, all these sort of, like, you know, light classical pieces and stuff like that. And I always loved the sound of the music, but that didn't do it for me. When I discovered the guitar when I was, like, 13 or 14 years old, that did it for me, even before the music. And then, of course, rock and roll started happening when I was about 15, and the die was cast. That was pretty much it.
You know, and people, I've had so many folks asking me to ask you questions,
sure.
Going back to Hot Tuna and Jefferson Airplane, Marty Ballin, all these other folks, and I'm happy to do that. But I also really want to talk about present day
sure.
work too. Any general reflections from those days at all? Things that might surprise folks, or
probably, you know, sad to say, probably not. But but you know, and it's a funny thing because you know the Jefferson Airplane was certainly monumentally important in my life. We might not be having this conversation if it weren't for the Jefferson Airplane. I'm sure I'd still be playing music, but the airplane certainly gave me and Jack a lot of visibility that we might or might not have otherwise had. The music certainly, the music of the airplane and the writers that we had over the years that I was with the band certainly pushed me in directions that I never would have gone in left to my own devices, and that's a good thing. You know, it's always nice to get kicked out of your comfort zone, and I had to come up with all this stuff. I'd never played lead guitar before. I'd never really played electric guitar before. All that stuff was on-the-job training, so that was exciting stuff. Now, after the fact, you know, to bring it into the present, because it's the 50th, we just passed the 50th anniversary of the first airplane gig. It was August 13th, 1965 at the Matrix. the airplane's not getting back together again. That's a question that thank you for not asking that, by the way. It's not going to get, and there's a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is that Grace doesn't sing anymore, and neither does Signe. So without those two characters, you can't have the band. Then it's just a cover band of yourself. So anyway, but we wanted to do something, you know. We wanted to do something to celebrate and commemorate the music of the airplane. So Jack and my Hot Tuna buddies and I played at this Lockin Festival in Arrington, Virginia last month. And we had, you know, I didn't want to put together somebody that sung like Grace. I wanted to do some of those songs. So mm-hmm. we got Rachel Price from Lake Street Dive. And I got Teresa Williams. She's Larry Campbell's wife. And Larry was on board, and G. Smith and stuff. And we picked a couple of, we had Rachel sing some of these odd Grace compositions and stuff in her own jazzy kind of way. And we had a blast. Well, anyway, that's their story. My story is to go back in that era. I was a lead guitar player. I wasn't a rhythm guitar player. I didn't know as much about music as I know today. I mean, I can actually talk about it. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I know what stuff is now. In any case, so with a lot of those Grace Slick songs, like we did Lawman, we did Eskimo Blue Day, and a couple other ones with Rachel. And anyway, I had no idea what the chords were to these songs, so I had to go back and learn them as a student, and then to try to figure out, because I was never into cloning my own lead lines anyway. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast, much less what I played 50 years ago. So, but to capture the feeling that I got with the kind of playing I did in those days was a journey to another universe also, because as I've learned more about music, for better or worse, a lot of my stuff has become more quote-unquote traditional, you know. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. Reflections on the airplane, I look back at it, and my comment is, wow, we were pretty good.
Well, I like that. I think being in the present and being present is simply a great way of life. That's why we're always live here, you know, Saturdays, as opposed to pre-recorded.
Which is good.
You know, one comment before I forget. Roy Bookbinder was in studio playing recently, and he played Preacher Pick the Guitar. And I said, oh, that's that great Jorma Kaukonen song. Right, I really love that. And he immediately
said, he jumped on that like a dog on a bone.
It's funny. I didn't know, and I should have, that was his song.
Well, you know, and that's funny because
we had fun with that, by the way.
I'm sure Roy probably told you this. It's like when he'd play Hesitation Blues before he and I met, people go, well, that's a Jorma song. And, of course, he'd go ballistic, you know. He's at the ranch this weekend. It's our Reverend Gary Davis weekend, and Stephen Grossman's there also. It's a cool thing. Anyway, Roy's written a bunch of great songs of his own. That's one I recorded. One of the other ones I did on River of Time is called Full Go Round. I mean, Roy's the real deal, and he's mellowed a little bit with age also. He doesn't quite as get as incensed when he thinks that his roots were somehow buried in Jorma. One of his lines is, what's a Jorma?
He, by the way, he had a good laugh, and we were joking about it afterwards. His reaction was, actually, he was happy that we liked the song so much. I need to ask you, I want to talk more about Fur Piece and also about the concert coming up. But one song that is on Stars in My Crown that I just, the first time I heard it, I felt like I knew every word, and I just wanted to keep it in my head forever. Late Breaking News.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about that song?
Without getting into a bunch of guitar geek and stuff, I'd learned this. I learned this E chord from G.E. Smith that had a G sharp in the bass string. It's an odd kind of a thing, you know, and it's more use as a fingerstyle guitar thing than an electric guitar. But anyway, and it's a little circle of fifth songs. The guitar players out there, the other musicians that are in sort of raggy stuff will know exactly what I'm talking about. There's nothing really new under the sun, but it's fun. You know, there's some things that you figure out as a guitar player that are just fun to do, and that was fun. And when I started coming up with lyrics for it, it's one of those things, you know, sometimes you have a mission when you write a song, and sometimes you just see the rabbit go down the hole, you follow him to see where he goes, you know. And that's kind of what happened with that song. And yeah, that's a good song. I enjoy that too. And it's a lot of fun to play.
I'll bet. It's got a great hook. I mean,
in my
little fantasy world, that would be heard on the radio all the time. And
well, of course, that's my fantasy world also. Now, it's kind of funny too because, you know, that's not one of my wife's favorite Yorma songs.
Huh.
You know, for whatever reason, that doesn't ring her bell, but it does mine, and that'll have to do.
Now, Fur Piece is not a far piece away from here in Pittsburgh. It's not far
no, it's
at all.
Not.
And lots of folks, I haven't had the pleasure yet, but so many folks tell me how much they love going there to learn and to listen and to enjoy the outdoors. How can folks get engaged that aren't already?
Well, I guess the best way to do would probably be to go take a look at our website, which is www.furpeaceranch.com, furpeaceranch.com, and just take a look and see the great instructors we have. Our scene is Friday morning to Monday morning. We have cabins on site. Not everybody stays in the cabins. Some people get local hotels, but a lot of people do. And one of the things that really happens, you know, your own Ernie Hawkins, one of the really noble human beings and a magnificent guitar player in his own right, has taught with us a bunch of times, and actually I think he'll be playing with me at the show up there. But anyway, so it's hard to talk about without sounding sappy, but it's a nifty musical community where for that weekend all you have to do is immerse yourself in quote unquote this kind of music, you know, and it's a great experience for us, and we've been able to pass this on to people. Now, you can't plan this stuff. You know, when you start a business, you know, you think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. There's no way to have envisioned the kind of cohesive musical community that's grown out of this Fur Piece experience. Like I said, it sounds sappy when you talk about it. You can't merchandise things that way. But great friendships have started, not just with myself and students that come, but with people that wound up starting bands together or just loving the same kind of music, you know?
Yeah, and you're welcome as a listener as well as a player.
Absolutely. Sure. We have concerts on, we have a Corey Harris tonight at the ranch. We have concerts on Saturday night. Every Saturday there's a ranch weekend, and sometimes when there aren't, We have magnificent concerts. They tend to be sold out. However, we're not that far away from Pittsburgh. It's like 4 hours, I think, something like that, depending on how legally you drive. And there's always cancellations. So if there's a great show and somebody was to call our guy John at the ranch or email, no, I'm sorry, we're sold out. Get on the waiting list because there's, you know, real life intervenes a lot with people, and there's always cancellations.
Mm-hmm. Well, the latest album is called "Ain't in No Hurry." It's
Amen.
A CD and a limited edition vinyl, and you can hear tracks from it, and also enjoy in just an acoustically perfect space. Yorma, when he is in concert, presented by Calliope, the Pittsburgh Folk Music Society. And that's just right around the corner. Yorma's going to be here. And Ernie Hawkins, Ernie just moved to a home right on the Allegheny River in Pittsburgh. It's gorgeous. He's been posting on Facebook all these beautiful pictures of his new backyard, which is a river. But it's October 25th coming up at Carnegie Lecture Hall a week from tomorrow, Sunday, presented by Calliope. And ticket information is at calliopehouse.org. Thanks for the gift of your time. I almost hate to send you back to load more boxes
in
the truck.
I've got to get. I'm going to be sprung in about 20 minutes, so I have to get over to the ranch. Listen, thanks for giving a darn. Stop by and say hello at the show. And like I said, Pittsburgh's right up the road. Will you be at the show?
I am going to try my best to be. I hope to, but I sometimes end up not making it. But I'm going to try my best.
Well, in any case, hopefully I'll see you there. If not, we really are right down the road. I've got an 18-year-old son that lives with his mom in Northern Virginia, and his grandma used to live in Butler, which is not far from Pittsburgh.
Oh, not at all.
I used to drop him off up there all the time when he'd be visiting with me when he was a kid. And so I've driven through your area. You know, I'm extremely fond of Pittsburgh. I've played there over the years. And I've got to say, also I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, by the way. It gets me a lot of flack sometimes down where I live because that's how it is. But anyway, it's a great town. I really look forward to getting up there and getting lost. I've been lost in your town a number of occasions.
I've lived here.
A quick story, yeah. If you've got a moment before we go.
Sure.
I was up there. I was playing at Mr. Small's Funhouse, and we were on a bus. You guys always have detours and stuff like that. There's always construction going on in Pittsburgh, and there was a detour, and our bus driver started going up this hill. And we looked at this thing because it was a residential neighborhood, and we thought, this is really not a good idea. And to make a long story short, we got to the top of the hill, and you could see Mr. Small's Funhouse about a mile straight down this hill, that there was no way that a bus was going down. And it's like a little two-lane road, and we backed down that road to try to turn around, and the bus high-centered, and now it's teetering on itself, you know. finally we got it unhung from the road somehow, and this merciful lady came out of her house and says, "You'll never find it. Follow me."
That is Pittsburgh to a T. You avoided a bustastrophe, but I know exactly the hill that I think you were on.
Man, it was breathtaking. That's all I could. It was a great view and not a great place for a bus.
Well, Yerma, thank you, and best wishes for a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
For Reverend Gary Davis and for a good trip to Pittsburgh. Thanks
great
so much.
Great talking to you, and hi to all the folks in Pittsburgh, and hope to see everybody when I get up there.
Thanks, Yerma. Take care.
Thanks, brother.
That's Yerma Kalkinen here at the Saturday Light Brigade.